And your mother's saying, go to college. So you finish college and it's wonderful. Keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're going to read and not remember. And you roll, man.
College is an experience that's supposed to prepare you for the real world. And if you don't have a good head start, meaning rich parents that can afford good educations, you might not have a very successful life, according to stereotypes. But Robin Holtz, my mother, had a very rough childhood growing up. She grew up poor and in a very bad neighborhood. And yet she still defied stereotypes and went to Vassar and ended up being the first person to go to and finish college in my family. What you're about to hear is a conversation between a mother and a son about life, about decisions, and success. The first questions I wanted to ask my mother were about her childhood, about the rough neighborhood she grew up in, the hard times she faced being smart, and of course, the home she grew up in. I guess in all biopics, you have to start with the beginning, so I'm not in a podcast. So question one, what was your house like?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia. I grew up in, we called it Southwest Philadelphia, and it was a working poor neighborhood. Not many of the families had a mom and a dad in them, but mine did. We lived in a humble home. It had 3 bedrooms, and for most of my life, we were a family of 5. And when I went to high school, my parents had a 4th child, so it was 6 of us in a 3-bedroom house.
The people that you grew up with, where are they now? Like the kids in your neighborhood, what do you think they are life-wise?
Some of them are still in that neighborhood. My closest girlfriend from my neighborhood died years ago. Many are incarcerated. Very few of us went on to college. You know, that's about it. You know, the majority are either dead, incarcerated, or still there in the neighborhood, and very few of us made it out.
The people that weren't successful in my mom's neighborhood, the people that didn't focus or work hard during school, the people that wasted away in jail cells, died young, and threw their lives away back in the same neighborhood they grew up in. I wonder where my mom would be had she not focused.
I probably would have fallen in with the majority. I mean, most of my girlfriends had babies at 16. My closest girlfriend had a baby in high school, and then she and her baby's father later on both died of HIV and AIDS. Not many of my girlfriends went to jail. Mostly that would have been the boys in the neighborhood. So, you know, you look at the averages, very few of us went to college, and those of us who didn't end up having, you know, becoming teenage mothers, is, you know, if you're talking about the girls.
Now, to live through all that and still have the motivation, the drive to achieve your goals, something has to give you hope, something has to inspire you to overcome your situation. And my mom, I had to find out what motivated her, what kept her going to be able to overcome or beat her surroundings and her situations. What inspired her to want to be so much better than everyone else around her? What made her want to have a successful life and enjoy doing it? What was her inspiration?
I would have to say my parents were a big part in pushing me. You know, even though I grew up in a very poor neighborhood and no one in my family had ever gone to college before, it was clear to me, you know, my parents made it clear growing up that I was going to college. It wasn't a question of whether, you know, it's what we were always taught that you were going to do after high school. I'm sure that most of my friends didn't have that kind of conversation in their lives growing up. People were always telling me that I was smart, that I would be a lawyer, and things like that. So I was constantly receiving positive messages, and I think that that's what inspired me to achieve my goals. That's what inspired me to set goals and then achieve them. You know, I kind of fell into success, you know, with some pushing from my parents, but ultimately God just kept me surrounded with positive.
What about your teenage years? How did people or situations change?
It's interesting. You know, the people that I went to school with, I had a lot more in common, so there wasn't a whole lot of drama or foolishness or anything like that in school. But in my neighborhood, things were changing, you know. I used to get teased a lot. You know, I wasn't doing what the kids in the neighborhood did. My parents wouldn't allow me to hang out as late as most of my friends could. So, you know, that became kind of tough living in the neighborhood. So gradually over those 4 years in high school, I spent less and less time with my neighbors and more time with my friends from school. And that was a big change for me.
Separating my mother from the children in that neighborhood was a key move for her. Had my mom been allowed to fraternize or mix with the children in that neighborhood, she probably wouldn't have gone to college, and I wouldn't be where I am today. For Act 2, it's back to college. My mom went to Vassar for undergrad. It's a small school in Poughkeepsie. Before she even told me any college stories, I wanted to know what happened in high school when she was applying, what challenges she faced, and what it was like as a senior to be applying for college.
Well, like I said a little while ago, I first heard about this school because of my elementary school guidance counselor. Her daughter went, and she actually did not graduate. She died in a fatal car accident while she was a student there.
So hearing about the school at a young age stuck with my mom all through school. And when the time came to apply for colleges, she remembered Vassar.
And from the Philadelphia area, they had a bus that actually came out of the Baltimore, D.C. area. And then it would scoop up kids in Philly and take us onto campus. And then a group would come in from New York City. So you would have the Philly, Baltimore, New York City. Made this tremendous impression on me. I actually ended up applying to Vassar more so probably because of a visit to another great school, Bates College, which is in Lewiston, Maine. And when I visited Bates, I was really impressed with it. And for a little while, you know, I was, you know, infatuated with the idea of going there. The problem for me back then was I think there were only 22 black students on campus out of 2,000 students. Some of the black students were encouraging us and giving us some solid advice on how to evaluate schools that you would choose to go to. And the piece of advice that they gave me that proved to be good, and I even still share this advice with people today, was to choose small, well-funded liberal arts schools. And when I say well-funded, I mean by their alumni, because they really value having diversity in their communities and they'll put their money where their mouths are. So as an underprivileged youth, if you find yourself in one of these schools, you'll probably never have to worry about money. So I took that advice I got at Bates, plus my interest in Vassar from my own visit, and decided that I was going to apply. But my guidance counselor back in high school thought it was a tremendous waste of time and resource for me to apply to Vassar. She didn't think I had what it took, clearly. Maybe she thought that I was too black or not talented enough, too poor, or all of the above. I honestly don't know, but I know that she tried very hard to dissuade me from doing that.
Knowing my mother, and from my own experience from being a teenager, when people are denied things, they want them more. And when my mom was denied a chance at Vassar, she worked harder just to prove people wrong.
And her argument was something like this: you know, you got 3 fee waivers from your schools, and you really need to find another choice so that you don't waste your other shot. You're only applying to 3 colleges. And so the more she tried to tell me not to do it, and I had already seen it, the message I got from her was that I wasn't good enough, and that offended me, and so I decided to pursue it. Vassar's acceptances didn't come out until April 15th, which was weeks and weeks later. And during that whole time, the counselor was just riding me on how I wasted this fee waiver. I was never going to get in, never going to get in, never going to get in. Well, when I got in, I came back to tell her, I told you so. And then her next argument was, you'd never fit in. And that was like kind of the nail through the heart. That sealed it for me. I knew I was going to go. And I actually won more money than my graduating senior class combined.
Now, being her son, of course I had heard this story before. Something that I never asked was what it was like to go back to that teacher and be able to brag in front of her and showing her her degree and saying, basically, you were wrong.
When I came back with my degree, she actually said to me with a straight face, as if though she didn't remember any of the crap she put me through my senior year. Oh, Robin, this is a quote, I am so proud of you, I knew you could do it. I just looked at her. I just could not believe that that was her reaction. For 4 years, I just could not wait. I savored the moment to be able to tell her what I could do. And, you know, I was gonna tell her off and she shouldn't be, you know, working in school around children and blah, blah, blah. And she totally took my thunder. But, you know, I made the best decision of my life for all the wrong reasons. And I'm just grateful to God that it worked out.
Now that the whole journey of getting to college was done, I wanted to know what happened to my mom when she got to Vassar.
What kind of grades did you get at Vassar? All 4 years.
I am actually a little nervous about sharing this with you. You'll remember that I told you that my elementary school grades came to me very easily, A's and B's. middle school, which was probably grade level work, was actually work that I needed to study to understand and to learn. I never learned how to study. And so I was getting C's and D's with my best effort, which landed me in a public high school, which probably also did not teach on a grade level. And I get to high school, and with no effort, I'm an AB student. Now, under the best of circumstances, coming out of John Bartram and going into college, even at the state level, basically meant that I was not academically prepared for college. That effect was magnified by virtue of going to Vassar. There were kids that were coming out of good prep schools that struggled academically. And here I am showing up at this Ivy caliber school, woefully underprepared. And so Vassar basically kicked my behind in my first year. And in fact, after my first semester, I was on what they called academic probation.
Oh, they still have that.
Yeah, so I was on academic probation for my first semester. When I came back, my second semester, I got the tutors that I needed to be able to pull myself together. Did the best that I could to learn how to study. And I got off of academic probation, but when I graduated, I was a middle road, basically average student, you know. I did not have a 3.0 GPA when I left Vassar. I was not, you know, I never did make it. I mean, I've had some classes where I did get A's here and there, but by and large, I struggled. I struggled. I didn't graduate magna cum laude or summa. I graduated with thank you, Lottie, but I did it in 4 years.
Thank you, Lottie.
Thank you, Lottie, and I did it in 4 years.
Vassar wasn't the last stop on my mom's road of education. She also wanted to be an attorney, so she went to law school.
When I started law school, I was single, I worked full-time, and I was going to law school full-time at night. By my second year, I was married and pregnant with you and working in the daytime and going to Temple Law School at night. By my third year, I had an infant, a full-time job, I was on Temple at night, and I was pregnant with my second child. My fourth year, my final year, I had the two toddlers. I was working full-time in the day and going to Temple at night. So my life was just a mess. It felt like it was moving 100 miles an hour. For me, the middle 90s, the late 90s is one big blur. I mean, I really don't even have real good memories of, you know, like watching you guys learning to walk and, you know, and all that. I just don't, because it was one blur. There are tidbits that I can remember, but like, try to remember, like, what was it like when you were running around here, like, as tall as this heater here, and I'm glad we have pictures. It was just so much going on. It was just one big blur.
Describe your graduation.
Graduation. I think we were the last law school class to graduate at McGonagall Hall, which doesn't even exist anymore.
McGonagall, like the professor from Harry Potter?
And at the time, you know, you were two, your sister was under two, and there was a girl that graduated with us who had her baby just a few days before graduation, and I remember her walking across the stage still looking pregnant with her hospital band around her wrist and her slippers on. So I said, well, I got two babies too. So I started motioning to your dad to bring you guys down to where the graduates were sitting. And when I walked across that stage to get my degree, I had you in one arm and your sister in the other, and big old smile on my face, and got my degree. Cause you guys were there with me. You've had more classes in law school at this point than you've had in undergrad. So you guys were there for a part of it.
My mom still got her degree. Even after the marriage, even after the two children, she still got her degree. Because nothing ever stopped her from getting her education. Whether it was guidance counselors that never believed in her, or stereotypes that said she would never succeed, nothing ever got in the way of my mom being successful. And it's still true today. Does it make my mom a super mom? No, not really. But making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 16 years is a superpower. That's just the way my mom has been. Always will be.